If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the automatic doors. They will be closing in a moment. Thank you.
Everybody, this is Rick with the Monorail Tales podcast, and I'm here tonight with three of my favorite co-hosts. In no particular order, we have Al.
Good evening, everyone.
And we have Bill.
Hello, everyone.
And we have Sheila.
Hi there.
And again, that's in no particular order. And tonight, we're going to talk about the queue lines at Disney. Do we like them, or are we happy to bypass them? How can we improve them? It's a thrilling topic, because there's nothing more fun than waiting in a queue line at Disney World. So we're going to address these four questions. What are our top three queue lines at Walt Disney World and why? What are three queue lines that we think are not worth checking out? What rides would we say do better with an interactive queue line or an improved one? And do we have any ideas to make any of it better? And which ones are the worst for not having shade while you wait? And I really hope I can contribute something to this, because I did not do any homework. I'm going to wing it. I'm sure everyone else is prepared.
Are you, Bill?
I think, what?
I was just asking Bill and Al if they were ready for this.
I'm like Scar, I'm prepared.
Right?
I am a professional and I never show up unprepared.
I had no doubt.
That's a lie.
And I'm sure that Sheila's emailed all of us a script.
Oh, you're so hard on me, Rick. I'll tell you what, Rick, I'm worn out even before this show started with the pre-show chat that we all had.
I thought it's because you've been practicing standing in line.
Okay. Unfortunately, Patrick was supposed to be the host for this, and unfortunately he couldn't make it. So just want to do a quick shout out to our Patrick.
Yeah, so unfortunately I had to fill in. I want to apologize in advance. And let's start with Sheila.
So here are my top three queue lines. The first one for me was Nemo. I just find it really amazing how you can go, you know, from the beach right to under the ocean. And I really love it when you're under the boat, you got the sounds going on. It's cool in there. You know, I love that queue line.
Well, for a second, I thought you meant the Nemo show in Animal Kingdom. I was like, oh, that's exciting.
Oh, no, this is the ride.
The Seas with Nemo and Friends.
Seas with Nemo, yes. Yes, bad me. I've had a horrible day today. Don't pick on me.
I like that one too, but I can never find it.
Really?
Get it? Finding Nemo? Nah.
Oh, groan.
You walked right into that one.
I did, didn't I? I didn't even have to join a queue line. How about that? So anyway, my first one was Nemo, Seas with Nemo. And then the other one, which I think is going to be most everyone's favorite, is Pirates. I love that one. I don't like the drop, as we all know, but just going through that queue line, getting out the heat, the smell that hits you when you start walking through that line, and just the sounds. I think it's just one of the most coolest queue lines ever. So that would be my second one. But my number one all-time favorite is Little Mermaid. I really think the Imagineers really did an amazing job on this queue line, because I feel as soon as you join, you know, the queue, you're getting into the story of the attraction that you're going to be going on. You know, you start off, as we all know, with a shipwrecked boat with Ariel as the figurehead, and passing the waterfalls. I love that area. I've got some really good photos from there, actually. And from there, you know, you're walking along the shore. And one of my other things I love to do is go to the beach and pick up shells. And I have to admit, it's very frustrating walking the path on this queue line, because I just want to bend down and pick up those shells. But anyway, from there, you know, you go under the cliffs, and, you know, you've got the little grottos under the cliffs with stashes of all, you know, the shipwrecked treasures. And I love looking at that. You know, I spend quite a bit of time looking at all the little treasures that are there, the dishes and cups and saucers, spyglasses, etc. So yeah, I think that has to be my number one favorite queue line out of them all at Disney.
I like that one as well. Have you actually seen the Hidden Mickey in that line?
No, are you talking about the one where the sun shines through? Yes. I haven't seen it. I've heard about it. In fact, we had one of our guests talk about it. Actually, I think I've got a picture of where it comes through, and you can see the sort of like the shape of the Mickey head. But I'm going to have to look up that photo. I didn't have time to do research on that bit. But no, have you?
I have not been there on that day. I've seen a picture of it.
So it's only one day of the year, right?
That's the rumor. So, I mean, I don't know enough about the spinning of the Earth and the sun and how everything jives, but it's supposed to be on Mickey's birthday at noon.
Okay.
I can't confirm that. Does it show the location of the hidden treasure, like Indiana Jones?
No.
You might need the staff of Ra to put in there.
Very quickly, that's another thing I like doing queue lines like that for, is, you know, besides the once a year hidden Mickey that shows, if it's not cloudy, is just all the other little hidden Mickeys around that place. And there's quite a few to be had. So, yeah, there you go, Rick.
So, Al, yes, we'll go with you next.
Okay. So, for me, my all-time favorite is the Haunted Mansion. I love the queue line there. It's technically the shrinking room is part of the queue line, so how could you beat that? Walking by that hearse going through there, playing all the music as you go through, just the anticipation, seeing the Madame Leota tombstone, just unbelievable. So, Haunted Mansion is definitely my first. I would say secondly after that would be Pirates. I'd agree with Sheila. And I just love going in and getting that air conditioner on me. And I just love Pirates because I love the Disney detail side of it, what the Imagineers have done. And one of my favorite things to look at is the two pirates playing chess, because they're both in stalemate. And it's just little things like that that just add those little touches of things that you just slow you down a little bit, make you smell the roses, so to speak, at Magic Kingdom and throughout Disney. And then lastly, my third favorite, or this might even be my first favorite, is the queue line at the Hollywood Tower of Terror. I mean, I just find it mesmerizing each time I walk through. And I always think of the original conception of the ride, because again, I love the detail and the history. For those who don't know, the original conception of the ride was supposed to have Mel Brooks's Young Frankenstein as the castle. And it was decided, you know, because Michael Eisner was trying to bring Mel Brooks over. So he figured if he let him work on a ride, then maybe he'd get him to do some pictures with him. But then there was little controversy over him being a little too risque for Disney. And they ended up going with the Tower of Terror as the Twilight Zone, which I absolutely love. And I love going through the queue line and looking at stuff like they have the actual book in there, To Serve Man, you know, from the Twilight Zone episode. And there's so many little knickknacks along the way from the show. So I just think it's an awesome experience. And those would be my top three.
Those are all great choices as well. And actually, our friend Thomas sent me a picture of that book, To Serve Man, that he took just the other day.
Oh, and wow, awesome.
I wasn't aware it was in there, so that was really neat.
I got to check that out. I didn't realize he sent one of those. That's really good. Yeah, there's a lot of little knickknacks in there. It's amazing.
I have a question for you. Sometimes they open up both sides when you're walking the queue line. When yes. Both sides of the queue line are opened, Al, which side do you tend to go on? Left or right?
For me, I always go to, if I have a choice, I'll always go toward the left. I guess being left-handed, I always go that direction. But typically, I mean, it's if they look equal, I'll always go to the one that is less crowded, of course. But I would say to the left, I would think.
Because I think it's the left that is usually opened the most times. You know,
that's correct. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What about you, Bill? Left or right?
Right, because I'm right-handed.
Yeah, but I'm right-handed, but I do left.
Well, because you're from England, so you go on the wrong side of the road anyway, so that's makes
okay,
sense.
Okay, moving on.
He's got you there.
Do you have a preference, Rick, because you got different scenes, right?
For Tower Terror?
No,
for Pirates.
I've never been to where I can choose.
Oh, okay. It doesn't happen that often, but we have, where they've opened up both sides of that rope and you get to choose, you know, left or right. And as I said, you got different little scenes, you know?
Yeah, usually, I mean, my experience has been one side is Fast Pass or Lightning Lane and the other side is Standby.
I know it's off the rail, but when I think of different scenes, who could forget the great movie ride when you typically would have the gangster scene, and then when they opened up the other side, you got the Western scene. You guys,
I never
that?
Rode that ride.
You oh, didn't? Wow.
Seriously, Rick?
No.
Wow.
When we went in 2017, we had a Fast Pass for it, and it was like right after lunchtime, 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was tired and hungry, and Brandy is like, we just need to go back to the room, so we didn't go.
I can understand that.
And then they closed it that summer.
Yes.
You should check it out on YouTube. It's a spectacular.
Yeah, I've watched it. Sorry, they closed it. I would have liked seeing it in person.
So, Rick, is that the day, same day that you didn't see the hat? The Mickey hat.
No. That was 2017. The hat was already gone, right?
Yeah, I think so.
In 2010, we were only in Hollywood Studios for 30 minutes because it was so cold. We were tired of cold. That's when I didn't see the hat.
Right.
Sorcerer's hat.
Yeah, it's... Al, that was on a previous show where he said he didn't know there was a hat there.
Okay.
Yeah.
People met under that hat than I can even imagine.
Yeah, we were just giving Rick a hard time because, you know, how could you miss the big blue hat at the end of the street? But Rick did, so there you go.
I defy anybody to take my three kids at the time. When it's 32 degrees to Hollywood Studios, and tell me if you notice a hat. So let's move on to Bill. Do you have a favorite key line? I think I know one of your favorite key lines, Bill.
Well, I'm going to do these. First one, I guess I'm going to list is Big Thunder Railroad. That one I can't really explain other than, you know, it's you go through and they have the props from the mine and the dynamite and all this stuff. And when it was interactive, you could, you know, do certain things. But it's just that it's not even a clicky-clack, just the sound of that train coming into the station or coming out of the station. I don't know which one it is. And you just hear that. It's like a click, 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 click sound. And it just like gets you excited to go on it. You know, it's like, I love the theming. I don't like roller coasters. That was one of the roller coasters I will ride because I love the theming of it. And even the queue, you know, we try to hit it when it's not a long line, you know, like during parades is a great time to do it. Or fireworks. I've done it on fireworks too, but yeah, that's the first one I'm gonna list. The other one is, and I can't believe no one mentioned this, was the Jungle Cruise, with the radio station in the background with the great puns coming off of it, and you know the same thing with Get You Out of the Sun a little bit. If the line's not too long, again, this is another one we wait till the line goes down a little bit. So usually when we do it, you're shaded and they got the fans going, and you know, again, the theming. I'm gonna mention one as the Muppet Vision 3D, which is an underrated one, just for the fact when they let you into the large room, all the different Easter eggs, I guess they would be called, you can look at, and you know, keeps you busy and occupied, and the wait for that one is obviously never long. The other one group goes in, then you pretty much go right into it, and you know, so it's just a lot to look at. Again, Out of the Sun. The bathrooms are right across the way from that, which really helped. Very convenient. I have two honorable mentions. The Dumbo ride, just for the kids, where they have that standby. I'm not quite sure how that is called with the queue, where, you know, when it gets really busy, the kids can go into the little play area and, you know, occupy themselves, and they have the little buzzers that tell the parents it's time to go. So that's pretty good that they did that. So that gets an honorable mention. And the other honorable mention, which actually should be my favorite queue line, of course, is the Grand Fiesta Tour featuring Rick Forbes. I mean, where else can you go?
I was hoping you'd mention that one.
And shake a famous podcaster's hand in a line. I mean, come on. That's just, you know, makes the ride all by itself great. So those are my top three and my two honorable mentions.
Awesome. Thank you, Bill, for sharing.
Bill, you do realize we're not getting points for this, so you don't have to suck up to Rick, okay? Oh, my
gosh. Well, in that case...
Hey, I do have a question for you, Bill, yes. And anyone else that would like to answer. On the Muppets, have you ever gone around the side of the building that used to be where they would do the extended queue line and seen what the Imagineers have done to the side of the building?
It's been a while. Haven't seen that.
With all the pipes outside and the little characters and it's colourful.
No, haven't seen that in a while.
What about you, Bill? Have you ever walked to the side of the building?
I'll have to do that next time because, like I said, you have the rest area right there. So we always hit those restrooms and then do the great movie. Not the great movie. Muppet 3D. So next time we're over there, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, Steve and I went round there, round the side. I mean, you can easily, when we did, it was easily accessible. And we took, you know, a picture of everything that was on the wall. I'll share them in our group tomorrow sometime. But yeah, pretty cool. So the reason why I'm saying that is if, you know, that queue line ever got extended, Imagineers have put something into place to keep you kind of occupied when you're outside looking at all the different, you know, characters and things.
I didn't even know that was there.
So. I don't think most people do, Rick. But yeah, as I said, I'll put them in our group so you can see what I'm babbling on about.
Well, let's continue keeping you babbling on. And let's talk about your three key lines that you think are not worth checking out.
Okay.
Just to clarify this question, does this mean rides that just have a horrible queue line, or ones where there is some sort of effort put into it, but it just doesn't really work?
I think it can be either or, you know. To be quite honest, this shows how good the Imagineers are, because I think most queue lines are, most of them are pretty good. But if I had to find one, if you came up to me, Rick, and you said, you know, is this queue line worth standing in line for? These are my three that I would say, nah, go get your lightning thing. So, yeah, these are my three. And the first one, I love, 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 love the ride. It's Winnie the Pooh. I know it's all geared to small kids, but every time I go through that little play area, I'm just thinking germs all the way through it. You know, oh, God, it just turns.
All you need is a ball pit in there. Just put a ball pit in there with those plastic balls.
I don't know what it is. There's just something about the Winnie the Pooh queue line that, I don't know. I don't know what I would replace it with, to be quite honest. But
I have a good idea. I have a great idea. Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Yeah. But anyway, that is one of the queue lines, Rick, that I would say pass on that one. The other one that I went with is Soarin'. Now, it's kind of interesting because Steve and I don't, when FastPass was, we would tend to go the queue lines because, you know, we enjoy that kind of side, you know, learning about Imagineering and what they're doing. But the one that Steve and I would always get a FastPass for was Soarin', because I find that queue line so boring. And I think the last time we actually walked the queue line for Soarin', I don't think the screens were even working. So, you know, you just got this walls, you're walled in. And I mean, I'm not claustrophobic or anything, but I don't like it. It's just think about that queue line that it's boring. So the other one, my third one, is the safari ride over in Animal Kingdom. I just think it's outdated now. I mean, there's no true story. You know, like many years ago, you had the storyline of, you know, Big Red, was it? The elephant? I can't remember now.
Yes, that's his name, Big Red.
Okay, the baby elephant that they had to go rescue. And, you know, that was somewhat kind of contained in the queue line. So as you're, you know, walking this queue line, you were getting the story. Whereas now it's, no, there's no story to that queue line. And I just, once again, I think it's outdated, and I'm pretty sure they could do more interesting things than what's there at this time. So they're my three, Rick.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ow.
All right, for my three worst queue lines, I'm going to pick number one, the Hall of Presidents, because there really is no queue line to speak of. And when you, and I could say this vehemently, because even though I never worked attractions, I was stationed in there many a day on special detail during the situations that were prevalent in the last couple of years in the political climate. And so many people, so many guests come in and don't even know it is actually a show. So they kind of just come in and they go through if they can get through it at any particular point. And they walk around, they see the relics and the artifacts, and a lot of them just walk out. So we're doing solutions next. So I did have a solution for it. So my second after that is the land, because I find the land tantalizing because, first off, you're smelling all the food down there. So you're just going around and around, and you see some of these little paintings on the wall, maybe of the teachers and little sayings and stuff. but you're smelling the food, you can't eat it, and it's just you're going around in a circle, and it's just kind of boring. And my third worst would be the Swiss Family Treehouse, which is just needs to be updated and uprooted. And in fact, well, we're going to do the solutions later. I have a funny solution for that one. But those would be my quick worst three.
Thank you, Al. I was actually kind of surprised to hear you mention Hall of Presidents, because I always thought that was kind of a fascinating area, but I can definitely see the point that you're putting across there.
Yeah, it's just kind of like the actual relic room is amazing. When you go in there, that's incredible. But the problem is that a lot of guests are so confused. And when you hear my solution later, which is actually a solution that Disney had back in the day, God, I'm old. When I went to Disney in 1976, it was I'll tell you that later, but it's just that I feel like it always gets shortchanged because unless there's a lot of interaction from the cast members or, you know, usually there's only one or two in there walking around, but it's just a lot of folks end up leaving. And I'd often tell guests, there's a show here, Daily. Really, there's a show. Because all you see is the curtain in the back. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's a wonderful place. I totally love the attraction, but, and they need to open up the gift shop again, too. That's a big loss that they took the gift shop away from there. But anyway, yeah. Bill, on to you.
You're fired, Rick.
Didn't even give me a chance.
Poor Rick. I'm going to go with, well, I was trying to be, I don't know, unique, but picking stuff that people wouldn't pick, but, and thought this was one, but Sheila beat me to the punch, but I'm still going to mention it because the Winnie the Pooh, I mean, I know it's geared for kids, but it's still the yuck factor. Not only the yuck factor, you know, it's when you're sitting there, you're waiting to go up, and, you know, again, I know Disney's for kids too. That's at least what they tell me, you know, and kids sitting here playing something and their parents, you know, aren't paying attention or, you know, like 10 feet, 15 feet ahead of them. And you're just sitting there patiently waiting for the kid to, you know, find out his parents aren't there because they're not paying attention to him. And it just, you know, it just aggravates me. It shouldn't, but it does. So that's my number uno. The other one, it's a small world. I mean, again, I don't know if, never really has a large line, but there's just something about the interior of that building when you're going down. I mean, yes, you get to see the ships. I mean, the boat's going out and the other clock, but it just gives me this feeling of a, you know, like a county fair, those, you know, not a haunted house, but the place where you go in and they have the mirrors and the
fun house.
Thank you, Al. You know, which is totally not what Walt wanted in his parks. And plus, you know, you have, you know, I haven't been, well, it's been 37 years, I think, since I've been to Disneyland. But, you know, I think the Disneyland one, at least, I mean, I know you have to load outside, but at least you have the water around. It's a little more care put into it, in my opinion. It's not really, I guess it's a queue. It doesn't matter if it has something for you to do or not. And the last one, when I was at the parks for the 50th anniversary, everything I noticed this problem, and it needs to be resolved because the commemorative popcorn bucket lines, that they need to do something with the queue. I mean, get jugglers out there, some clowns, a guy on a unicycle, something, because I really feel sorry for those people that are standing in the line that long to get those buckets so they can sell them on eBay. I mean, if they're going to do this when they could be having fun on the rides like we were, you know, they should have some entertainment. It's just not fair that line's the longest line in the whole park. So, you know, they really need to do something with that queue. That's my top three that need to be addressed or worse or that part. So, yes, I'm done.
Thank you. Very much agree. That's great, Billy. I think you're right. I mean, it's true. People waiting on those lines. It's horrendous.
I know. And we walked in and Kelly and I, my wife, we walk in, we go over to you know, Tomorrowland, and I'm looking at the line, and I'm like, oh my gosh, is this the line for the People Mover? I'm like, well, maybe it's for whatever that other ride that's right there. I should know it, but I can't. And we get up on the Wedway People Mover, and we're going, that's for popcorn bucket line. It was ridiculous. But yeah, it's, I guess, to each their own.
So yes. You would provide entertainment for the people that's buying to sell on eBay.
It was kind of tongue-in-cheek.
I thought so.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, you also, in that queue line, you do get the people that are genuinely just going
for
one bucket.
But I don't know. It's just like when, I mean, I could be totally wrong, but when it's October 1st, the 50th anniversary, and we loved it. You know, you guys were there, so we just walked on every ride we wanted to because everyone was either buying the merch or in the bucket lines, and it was just weird, but whatever. Each their own again.
And if it's right with Rick, I wouldn't mind just touching on It's a Small World.
Go ahead.
Because when I was talking to Steve, I asked him the question that we're answering tonight. What's, kind of the worst queue line? And straight away, his first answer was your answer. It's a Small World. And I said to him, but that's not really a queue line. You know, you can see the boats. You know, you're there. But it's interesting. He had the same answer as you, Bill.
See, Steve and I are smart.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
As Rick would say, whatever.
We both, we both marry beautiful, talented, smart women. So, see, we're both smart.
Oh, okay.
Rick, you can't argue with me now.
I'm gonna argue. Rick, I haven't heard you answer any of these. Are you just not answering anything?
I'm the host.
Oh, okay. No, even when I host, I do occasionally answer. Mm. No, I will ask you at the end. Don't worry. Okay, host.
I may or may not answer. All right, carrying on. What rides would you say could do with an interactive queue line or even an improved queue line? And do you have any ideas that can make it better? And I really like that one, this question, because I don't like it when people complain without offering up a solution. So let's hear what you guys have to say.
Well, you might like my answer for two reasons. One, I'm not going to say, I think you will, because I'm not going to say too much. Everyone loves that when that happens. No, actually, I did have a hard time coming up with this one, because you're right. I'm like you. If you're going to complain about it, you find a solution for it. And, once again, I'm going to keep harping back to, I think the Imagineers have done their best for some of these queue lines. Give them more time. They're going to come up with better things than you and I could come up with. No, I am classing this.
I think you could come up with a great thing.
I don't think so. But I did come up with one, guys. And it is a ride. It's a bus ride. Okay. And we've all been there at the end of the day. We just want to get back to our resort. And, we try to beat the crowd out of the park. But still, we get to the bus lines and you're tired. You've got cranky kids. You've got bags of shopping. And you get into that line and everyone's grumpy. And you're seeing all these buses come and not one of them is your bus. You might get three buses for the next resort next to you, sort of type thing, but not one for you. What a great idea I came up with is for each of those bus stops, you have one big kind of TV screen where, all your queue line can look this way and they can see this big screen that's going to be playing cartoons and Mickey shorts. Because I think if you had something like that in those queue lines for the bus, you're going to forget about your aching feet or the buses that's not going to your resort. You've got a big screen in front of you. And what kid or man does not like a screen in front of them? So for each of the parks, I would put these big TV screens in and stream cartoons.
I love the idea. I think it's a great idea. The only problem is the rain and the weather, because I could tell you from the electronics at the front of the Magic Kingdom, the weather wreaks havoc with the electronics. So I think that's one of the reasons why, probably why they haven't done it yet.
But the screens go undercover.
Yeah, you know, even like undercover, like, because the rain kind of blows different directions, and it's, you know, even for the Evolve system, you know, the thing that I worked on is, you know, we had to reboot that all the time because it would rain. Now they have a better one. They have a more like outdoor version of it. But the rain in Florida is so strange. It's like it goes like sideways and you get these weird. I mean, I think it's a great idea. And I think you just have to have outdoor TVs. And certainly if Disney could make, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy roller coaster, they could certainly do waterproof TVs. But I think it's great. I love it. I mean, I think it's a fabulous idea. You could also be, you know, devilish if you're Disney, and you could put up tantalizing desserts that you're going to get when you go back to your resort and the awesome food, you know.
Well, you know, even at your resort, your resort bus stops, you know, sometimes people have to wait a long time for those buses even. And, you know, who wants to know the bus is coming in 10 minutes when it really in reality comes in 20 minutes. Once again, you can have a screen there for some of these kids, you know, just to go and stand in front of and watch cartoons. So I know it's weak, Rick, but that's the best I could come up with today for improving queue lines. So I've blown you away, haven't I, Rick?
The thing that concerns me most is that Al doesn't want to admit or realize that Disney has the complete capability of controlling the weather so those TVs won't get messed up.
Yeah, just cover the bubble, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Make it stop the rain.
That's the only thing that's, we always said that's the only thing we can't do is change the weather.
No, I did. It's going to be interesting to hear from Bill and Al, because I really did have an issue. You know, I had a hard time with this, but I've had a hard day, so that's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it. Back to you, Rick.
All right, well, let's move on to Al, what improvements he has to offer.
All right, so I have a good one, but I'm really going to be dating myself, so there's probably not many people out there who are going to remember this one. So, like, the first time I went to Disney was 1976. So, I'm really old. You know, I was actually 9 years old at the time. But I was complaining about the president's queue line, that is really non-existent. There's really nothing until you get inside or whatever. Well, they had the solution back in 1976, and I thought it was fabulous. Now, I don't know who would remember this out there. Probably could find pictures of it. They literally had a roving character who was Ben Franklin. And he was stationed at the Hall of Presidents. He would walk around, and he looked just like Benjamin Franklin, which I thought was brilliant because most folks who don't know history assume that Benjamin Franklin was a U.S. president because he's on the $100 bill. And no, a little shout out to Bill, $100 bill. But but what was great was he would chide the people, chide the guests when they were in line, and he would say, they'd be like, oh, what president number are you? Because I wasn't a president. I'm just on the $100 bill, whatever. So I think they should bring Benjamin Franklin back. And because I'm getting older, I would volunteer if Disney wants to do it. I mean, I certainly have the right haircut. You guys can tell that in the photograph that's up on the screen there. Talking about screens, right? So that's my fix for Hall of Presidents. And I have an absolute brilliant one for my second one, which is the Swiss family, you know, the tree, which I can't even say the name. That's how much I want it removed from there. But I have an absolute perfect solution for that one, which has got a horrible queue line. It's hot. It's roasting. It's probably the worst attraction that Disney has, I think. So my solution is fabulous, but they would never do it because of theming. So my solution for that would be to have a little Vivian Blair, who I know Sheila's not a Star Wars person, but Vivian Blair is a little cute actress who's playing Princess Leia in the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. Vivian Blair loves climbing trees. So my suggestion would be, and they'd never do it, would be to have a little Vivian Blair lookalike character out there saying, I'm going to go climb the tree, try and stop me. I'm Princess Leia, you know, whatever. I think that'd be fantastic. What do you guys think?
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler? No spoilers there.
Some of us haven't seen Obi-Wan Kenobi yet.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, we were on a podcast yesterday with the VP for the entire world for the Disney stores. And this and Sheila can back me up on this. Jonathan said, because we had one spoiler little thing, and he said, listen, if people out there have not seen this show yet after three episodes, then it's on them because they should be watching. Right, Sheila? Did we lose Sheila?
Could we be that lucky?
No, I'm here, so I was on mute. I'm staying out of this one, Al. I need to keep Rick on my side.
Do you have another one, Bill, or is that all three?
Me, Al? Yeah, I have one more.
Yeah.
That's okay. I know you're mad at me for spoiler alert now. My last one is The Land, and my solution for The Land is to have a cast member in there just interacting with folks, maybe with some of the plants that are inside the hydroponics, maybe a Mickey pumpkin, just to kind of help the guests along and give them a little education on the land ride. I think that would be really cool. So, yeah, so that's my solution.
That would be kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, here's the thing. I've always been retail my entire life, and I'm always thinking of upselling because, you know, I was working for the company. It was always something that I always wanted to see the company do well. So here's the thing. They have a tour there called Seeds of the Kingdom, I think it's called, or what the heck is that called? Anyway, there's a tour behind the seeds, I think it's called.
Yeah, behind the seeds.
Yeah, at the land. And here's the thing. If you kind of have an interest in that, what better way to spark it? And if folks want to ask more questions, say, hey, you know what? You have more questions. You want to see more of this? Here's the phone number or the tie line or the barcode or the QR code. And you can, for 50, 60 or 65 bucks, you could go behind the seeds at Epcot.
I wish they would start that one back up.
I didn't know they stopped it.
Maybe they are doing it.
Yeah, they're back doing it again because they're doing Keys of the Kingdom again.
I've never done that one, actually. And you know, I think it was one of the cheapest ones, wasn't it, Rick, that you could take?
Yeah. And I was actually going to make that point that they have at least three fantastic tours that are very inexpensive. Behind the Seeds, Caring for Giants, which is the elephant tour at Animal Kingdom. And then they have Up Close with Rhinos.
Now, you just done one of those, yes? The rhinos? Elephants.
Elephants. Yeah. It was $35, plus we got our annual pass discount. So it ended up being less than $30 a piece.
Because when I sent you the message and said, how much are you paying for this? I could not believe the answer you gave me that day. Because to me, and how long was the tour? It was what, an hour?
It was an hour.
Okay, for $30? Wow.
Yeah, we went backstage of Animal Kingdom. Yeah, I can give you all kind of details if we talk about my trip stuff later. It's a small tour. I think they only have room for 14 or 15 people. And you get to spend an hour with a cast member who we had a fantastic one. She loved her job, what she got to do, you know, educating people about the animals that are cared for in Animal Kingdom. So I would recommend it to anybody.
I mean, that's certainly one that I think I would go on. And, you know, most of the tours that Disney offer are usually quite expensive. Just very quickly, I mean, I really would like to do a trip report with you, Rick, if that is in the offering. But just in case it doesn't happen, what was your wait time like? Is there a list that you have to get on? Or, you know, did you have any issues getting on?
They have you book it just like an ADR. So you want to do it at the 60-day mark. If they're available, you have to keep checking, because like with the Rhino Tours, it wasn't available at the 60 days, but you have to keep checking because they can pop in. They can open the windows anytime. And right. The Rhino Tour seems to go faster than the Elephant Tour. But we went and we signed up. It said to be about 20 minutes early. So we had to go sign a waiver. And she explained the process of the tour. We got lanyards with our name badges on them. We got to keep the name badges, but we had to give back the lanyards. And we came back five minutes prior to the tour starting. She walked us backstage, which was a really neat experience in and of itself. And we got on a little, one of the shuttle buses like they have going back and forth between the Animal Kingdom, Jumbo, and Kidani. And we went to the elephant paddock. And it's right behind the elephants on the safari. So we could see the safari trucks driving by on the other side of the elephant yard. It's really neat.
It sounds so much fun. And I love elephants. So, yeah. Cool.
Yes.
Yes.
So, are we on Bill now?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you have any suggestions for improvements, Sir Bill?
Well, I do. So, I'm going with Splash Mountain. I guess my point being to this one is when they finally retheme it to Princess and the Frog theme, I hope they redo and add, you know, that's another long line, the queue for that, to make, you know, there's a lot of fun stuff you could add into it. I know we're supposed to, I'm just, you know, I don't have any specifics, but I think that was a good chance to retheme that and add some new elements to that queue line. Now, another one I have is Pirates, and that was mentioned, I think, by both Sheila and Al as one of their favorite queue lines. I was talking with Sheila the other day, it's like, maybe it's just because it seems, again, when I try to do that, we don't do a fast pass for that one, or we didn't back in the day. So we'd hit it when the line was shorter, so it's like you get in there and running through it but going through fast and didn't check. But it's like there's a law, I think, an opportunity that they could add some more, you know, Easter eggs or something in that to look at, because you get in there and yeah, it's like you're going into this castle and or not castle, it's, you know, whatever it is. And I just think there's a loss of a chance to add some interesting things in there. I mean, there's some good things, but I think you could add some more interesting things, you know, like I'm not a smart Imagineer. This is one that, this is an interesting one for an update. This is Carousel of Progress. And the reason why I brought this one up is, and I didn't know this until I was doing trivia somewhere on something, and I think there's like two places or something like that where you can actually hear Walt's voice in the park. And one place is Carousel Progress, where they have these little TVs that are sun faded at this point, so you can hardly see the picture. I mean, it's a black and white video of the Sherman Brothers and, you know, Walt singing the theme song. It'd be nice if they could add a little bit more updating to the area when you're sitting there waiting to go in, just a, you know, maybe a newer screen that you can actually see, and an audio system you can actually hear it, so people would, you know, kind of go like, who's, mm-hmm. You know, who's those people with Walt, you know, if they don't know who the Sherman Brothers were, since they wrote most of the songs that are not almost of them, but a lot of the songs that are in the theme park. I'm going to go for one more. And I don't quite know on this one. For Mickey and Minnie's ride, the runway train or whatever it's called. It's an odd one because they took the Great American movie ride and that show building and, you know, reimagined it to that ride. And so I think there's something you could do. I'm trying to think how you could tie it into the Mickey, the ride, but there's, you could probably somehow maybe show do a tribute to the ride that was there before. And, you know, because, you know, I have unlimited funds and unlimited time. I'm just going to do it. Like maybe do some of the scenes that were in there so you can walk by and see them, you know, maybe even some of them, like, I mean, you don't even have to have the actual scene. You could have it like with their technology and stuff they have now, you could just be on an LCD screen so it looks like it's there or something, or if, you know, just to give a tribute back to that ride and the building that it's housed in. So, I mean, it doesn't really tie into the Mickey Mini, but that's just kind of my feeling on that one. That's it.
I think that's a great idea, Bill. You know, I think great minds think alike, you and I, because when Sheila was mentioning Soarin', I was picturing a tribute to Food Rocks, which was, you know, before that it was Kitchen Cabaret. And I guess, I mean, people listening to the show must think I'm 100 years old, but Kitchen Cabaret was the original ride in there, original attraction. Then you had Food Rocks. So I was thinking, as you were mentioning what you were talking about, I think it's a great idea. That if they incorporated that with your idea, they could certainly do that on the Soarin ride and attraction and do a tribute to Food Rocks, which everybody loved Food Rocks. And they had all these catchy songs and it was just a lovely, I always hated to see that go away. And this is one of the things that I do when I go to the parks is that I guess I reminisce about, you know, because you always feel when you're, I mean, right now, you know, my son being, you know, older, you always reminisce when your kids are little. It's like when they're smaller, mm-hmm. you kind of get a different kind of fun out of it. And I guess you always romanticize the older attractions and, you know, with the exception of maybe a few. But I think a tribute in there would be kind of nice, but maybe Disney doesn't want to. They want us to move on. But I don't know. But I think it's a great idea. I think, like you said, they have unlimited funds. And why not put, if not a whole tribute, a little Easter egg? I mean, they could just put one of those characters in there or something. I think it'd be great.
Yeah, I know when Steve and I went to Destination D, they had a food panel, or not a food panel, but a panel, and that where they talked about Kitchen Cabaret and Food Rocks, and they actually made a shirt for Mickey at Glendale's, which was like a Battle of the Bands, Food Rocks versus Kitchen Cabaret.
Oh, nice.
It was really fun.
That's amazing. I didn't know. It's fantastic. See, more stuff like that would be great.
Actually, I do have two comments for you, Bill. The first one, you said I was smart. Well, I ain't smart, Bill, because I didn't account for the rain on the TV. So I failed on that one. And the second comment, actually, Al and I had talked about this on a previous show of, you made the comment, you know, some people don't know who the Sherman brothers are. And, you know, as old time Disney geeks, it's like, oh, wash your mouth up, you know. I mean, who doesn't know who the Sherman brothers are? But we're now coming into, what did we say, Al? Second generation?
Right. It's like, right.
So your idea is not a bad idea, actually.
Thank you. Thank you
very much. You're welcome.
And you are smart.
Except all right, that's enough of that sentimentality. Let's move on to the last question. Any queue lines you feel are the worst for not having shade while you wait? And let's change it up a bit and just take your number one worst line for getting baked in the sun.
For me to start, Rick?
Yes.
I'm glad you changed it, because I've only got one anyway. For me, and maybe I'm being unfair because I went in January. It's a new ride, and we had to enter what I call the extended queue line. But the ride I'm going to say that I baked in was the Mickey's Runaway Railroad, and it was awful. And this was in January, and I honestly don't think it's probably got any better since then. But, you know, you have to sort of like go back and forth outside. There's no fans. There's no shade anywhere. And, oh, my gosh, it was awful. So
did you say you were bait or you got bait in the line?
Is there a difference between were and got?
Yeah.
I was flipping hot, okay? I got baked. It was hot.
Yes, yeah. Getting baked is like smoking weed.
Oh, it's one of those that's American things, eh?
Still got baked.
No, I've never been baked. I was baked. No, hang on. How do I say it now? Oh, you screwed me up.
It was hot.
It was hot. It was really, really hot. Yeah. Oh, I've learned something tonight. Yeah, not to say I got baked. Wow. Okay.
All right. Ow. Did you get baked in line?
I do have a worst line, and I had to work it almost every night or be around it almost every night. And for mine, it's the queue line when the park exits, either, you know, for a Mickey's Not So Scary, but it's when the guests queue up for the ferry boat, and essentially they're sent out and everyone leaves at one time after the fireworks or whatever, and they're put into this like squirrel cage, which is, you know, horrendous. And sometimes they're in there for an hour and 20 minutes. And none of us look forward to that, because that was always the time of night when all the issues happened. We'll keep the issues off the air, but from a security standpoint, it was when you had all the issues. And so my solution to it would be, they need to, for safety reasons, for many reasons, and for just interest reasons, I think they need to build a walk bridge, which goes from where the ferry boats are across the pond, basically, and to TTC. Just a walk bridge, just in case people need to get out of there real quick, because folks get kind of caught up in there, and some people get anxiety attacks. I mean, a whole mess of stuff happens, and they could really, it really is when Disney probably gets, I would say, from working there, the most complaints, which is that end of the day thing. People are hot, they're tired, the kids are whiny, they're exhausted, you know, people are baked from the sun, you know. And it's just, they need to do something about that. So that's the one that needs, and you do get sunburned and everything else. And that's the one they really need to change, I think.
Yes. All right, Bill.
Since we could only mention one, I got five honorable mentions. No, I'm just kidding. You know what? I'm going to go with one of them that I'm going to choose. And that's Tomorrowland Speedway. I mean, I'm trying to remember. I went on it like the first time we took our kids there in 2014. And well, we won't even get, my side still hurts from that. From the ride itself, with, you know, kids back and forth and everything. But it just, it's you're sitting out there and you're in the sun, unprotected. You have the smell of the exhaust from the cars, and it just, I think it's a bad combination between the heat, the smell, and something they could do better with. They could do better with the ride, I think, too, but that's beside the point. I mean, oh, I was thinking, too, it's like with that, it's like Bob Gurr is still alive. They should bring him in and design, you know, a mock electric, whatever you want to call it, mock electric one, and redesign the cars, make them electric, and you know, they can work on the queue area, but I think that would be a nice addition to that. I mean, that's not really the queue, but see, that's a whole, I'm changing this whole attraction. So see, that's, you know, if you need me, Bob, not Bob Iger,
Bob
Chapek, Mr. Chapek, if you need a an Imagineer, give me a call. We'll chat. I got this for you, but I need a big budget.
Thank you, Bill. I'm sure that they'll be in touch with you very soon.
Yeah, I'm sure Mr. Chapek, and I'm going to be nice to him now. He listens to our podcast, I'm sure.
Exactly.
For ideas. Bye.
All right.
Good,
so,
good job, Bill.
Call me, Mr. Chapek.
Yeah.
We'll send you a fridge magnet.
Call me. I love you. Yeah, thank you everybody for sharing. We did put this question out to our friends in our Facebook group. What is your favorite line to wait in, or maybe even the one you hate to wait in? So we had a few responses. I'll go ahead and start. Sheila can wrap it up. We have Cindy Ellicott. She said, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train has been my absolute favorite, but now the Guardians with the two pre-shows beats it out. And Mine Train is a fun one because it has two or three interactive games that you can play. And we went on it last week, and they were all up and running now again. So that was fun to go through. We have our guest who was on our The Marvelous Side of Disney show, Luis. He said, the best would have to be Soarin', as all of it is indoors. Worst would be most rides in Animal Kingdom, as there is very little canopy or cover for most of the queues around the park. I guess you could call me Vampire Sorts for an obvious aversion. So he just doesn't like to be out in the sun. And when it's hot like that, who can blame him, right? We have our friend Jeff Positano. He said, Peter Pan's queue is fun once you get inside. And the worst for me is Slinky Dog. That is an outside, a largely outside queue as well. And then our own Bill's better half, Kelly Mitchell, said Peter Pan. And Peter Pan is a fun queue once you get inside the house. So Sheila, do you want to take the last ones?
Yeah, sure. Can we just do a quick shout out from Jeff, which podcast he's representing?
Oh, yes. Jeff is one of the co-hosts of the Disney with the Ducks podcast. They have a lot of fun topics and fun co-hosts. I'm friends with most of them. So definitely I would recommend checking them out.
Hey, you're friends with everyone, Rick.
Yeah.
Actually, also, isn't Cindy
I was
going to
say Cindy is part of the Royal Court Review section of the WDW Review podcast. They're doing a weekly news show. Cindy, our friend Cassandra, who was just on the show, Do You Know Your Disney Kid? Jenny Barriger and Jen Bachman as well. So check them out too.
Yep. Okay. So completing the list of people that came forward is Michael Burge, who really enjoys Flight of Passage and also Tough to Be a Bug. Johnny from the DMSW podcast would have said Tower of Terror, and that is until he went to Disneyland, and now it's Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout. And according to him, the worst ride queue line is Slinky Dog. And according to Johnny, 15 minutes in that queue and you look as red as Sebastian. Moving on, we have Michael Johnson from Soaring with the Disney Dog podcast. He says definitely Flight of Passage or Peter Pan has to have the best queue lines. The worst would be some place like the Jungle Cruise, although the music there is great. And saving the best to last, our good friend, Mr. Jamie Price, where you can find him over in Edcot, says Expedition Everest, hands down. He'll go on it just to go through the queue. So well done, he's saying to the Imagineers. I just, before I pass this back to Rick, I just want to say thank you to our group members for taking the time to leave your answer. Thanks. Right, Rick, to you.
This show ended up having a lot more discussion than what I think any of us expected. And it will be interesting to see how long it's going to take the powers that be at Disney to implement our suggestions on how to approve some of the lines that people are waiting in. So I would like to thank Al and Bill and Sheila for joining me here tonight to share their opinions. And if anyone wants to follow us or, you know, join in the discussions that we have, they can go to monorailtales.com to get our social links, or just go on Facebook and search up Monorail Tales. That'll pull up our page and our group. And we welcome everybody and would love to meet some new friends.
Yeah, because we're all done with Rick.
Right?
No, because a stranger is just a friend you haven't met yet.
Oh, nice.
I didn't make that up, but I do like that saying.
Yeah, you can keep saying that, psycho. Let me tell you which queue line I don't like. If any of them have the switchbacks where you walk back and forth and see the same people over and over and over again.
Yes. Good answer, Rick. You saved the best to last. That was
because it just gives you more opportunity to have somebody to talk to you.
But reverse it. What about the people you do like and you start getting into some nice, good conversation and you never pass them again? That happens too.
That's never happened to me.
Oh, okay. I thought you didn't talk to people in queues anyway.
I talked to Bill once and look what happened.
I know.
Hey,
it's all Rick's fault.
Rick, thanks for inviting us to the show tonight. I had a fun time. So good job.
Yes. Again, thanks for joining us. And thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Thanks again, Rick. Great show. Bill, Sheila, it was a pleasure. Listeners, have a good night.
Adios, amigos, and thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bill's still stuck on the three caballeros. He's wanting to speak in Spanish to remember the time.
Switch on the sky and the stars glow for you. Go see the world, cause it's all so brand new. Don't close your eyes, cause your future's ready to shine. It's just a matter of time before we learn how to fly. Welcome to the rhythm of the night. There's something in the air you can't deny. Light. It's been fun, but now I've got to go. Life is way too short.
And thank you!